episode number 450. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me.
And we're in New York, concrete jungles where trees are made of.
You looked up the lyrics, didn't you? I was like, this motherfucker knows the words?
No, I kind of. I mean, the chorus, a little bit of the chorus. But I did have it in front of me just to make sure. But yes, like we are in New York. We are together. We're coming to you a day later than we normally do. Although, if you're a frequent listener of the MMA Roadshow, you'll know that the past week or so has been all about late delivery. And we apologize for that. We pride ourselves on consistent delivery here at the MMA Roadshow. 450 consecutive weeks without an episode missed. And I would say about 446 of those have probably been on time. It's just that these last two have been a little bit late. But this one was a conscious decision. Whereas last week I was just crushed. This week we decided, you know what? Why don't we put it off one day so we can actually get together and be in New York for UFC 295?
Yes. I probably wouldn't have been better if we got together last night, because then I wouldn't have drank at the bar and had that massive headache this morning. I had all kinds of plans I was going to go do this morning, and then it was just a matter of, I feel like death. I'm going to stay in bed. I am out of practice, but when you stumble upon a bar that just happened to be next to a ramen place that I found, and they were offering beer, it was – well, the advertisement I saw online was it showed a shot of, like, it had like four different options of beer and whiskey for $8. Okay. I was like, dude.
A beer and a whiskey for eight bucks. In New York?
In New York City. That's not ridiculous. Bad. I was like, all right, let me walk over there and get it.
Yep.
So I get in there and I was like, hey, can I get a PBR and like a whiskey? She's like, what kind you want? I was like, well, what kind will you give me? I was like, she's like, well, any we have all the different types. And I'm like, wait, so you're going to give me Jameson? She was like, oh, wait, no, you mean for the special? She's like, oh, hell no, no. It's just our well shit. I was like, oh, that's what I imagined.
You're like, whoa. I was like, you're throwing me off. I found the best bar ever.
So then I was like, all right, I'll take your well whiskey and a PBR. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. It's only Rolling Rock for the $8. And I was like, dude, Rolling Rock is piss. Like, I don't like Rolling Rock. But at that point, she had already pulled out the can. I was like, okay, go on. Give me the can. Let me do this. And I was like, I'll just have this, and then I'll go home. You know, no biggie, no biggie. It was crowded in there at the time. And then, so I sit down, and I drank that, and I'm like, you know, the Rolling Rock, it's not so bad. I was like, you know, I don't want another one, but I was like, it's not as bad as I remembered. I remember it used to just, I thought it tasted like piss. I was this is garbage. But then, very nice young lady bartender comes over again and says, I'll give you one with PBR. She's like, but it's going to be $9. I was like, $9? Okay.
Sold.
So I ended up staying there for like four or five more rounds of that.
All right. Four or five whiskeys, four or five beers. Well, I tell you what, it's funny. So I got in late last night. You guys did the media day yesterday. I watched all the media day, so we can talk about that in a little bit.
That was so long.
It was long.
Because then we waited for the face-offs. They're like, hey, guys. It was like their way of like stick around for the weigh-ins or whatever. And they're like, but we're just going to let you know there's going to be a face-off at 5 p.m. And at that time, it was already 3. So then I was like, wait a second. So you're going to tell me – I mean, we got there at like 9. I, of course, got there a little bit earlier. I was like, you're going to want to sit in this little room for 8 hours? It was brutal. It was so long. It was real long.
So I actually flew in last night. I had some things I had to take care of. I was getting caught up after last week. I had a crazy, crazy last week. I'll talk about that in a minute too. But I got in this morning, and it was funny. I took the red eye in, connected through Philly, went to LaGuardia. Actually took a quick little shower at the Admirals Club at LaGuardia, kind of freshened up a little bit, then made my way into the city, checked in for the press conference day, and boy, I felt like I missed out last. I think everybody was a little banged up.
Everybody was a little banged up.
I think everybody knew they had a late start to the day, and they're like, let's go in. But all catching up with all the media peeps that I haven't seen, that I didn't make the trip to Boston, didn't make the trip to Abu Dhabi, catching up with all them, and yeah, everybody's banged up a little bit today.
I hear even the staff people kind of got into it a little bit last night, too. I'm not going to say no names.
Mm-hmm.
If they listen to this, they'll know who I'm talking about. But one of the staffers, they had a good time, too, at this one particular bar and proceeded to faceplant as they were leaving. Because, you know, like New York streets
are kind of like a very, very awkward,
you know, and uneven. And, yeah, they hit one of these, like, bad steps. And next thing you know, they faceplanted.
All right.
I was like,
I'll be paying more attention tomorrow for some scrapes and bruises on the So, all right. So listen, it's funny, right? Because here we are in New York. We're in your hotel here. You're at the Hilton Times Square. Beautiful view out here, man. Really nice. We were over at Madison Square Garden earlier today to do the press conference. And
the
then
Chase
we were
Plaza.
The Chase Plaza of Madison Square. They're just really outside of Madison Square Garden, I guess. Or in the atrium.
In the atrium. They're like, here, we have this random spare space.
It's the Chase Plaza. Like, it's,
Chase Plaza.
You mean that corner of the atrium over there.
Wow. Okay,
It's the Chase Plaza. But, yeah, so we were there, and it was funny. So we got that done. Then you and I kind of walked over here. And it's funny because, you know, listen – I've kind of said over the years, Manhattan is not necessarily my cup of tea, right?
Yeah.
It's like not always my favorite. I mean, it's not a bad place. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just so crazy. But I tell you what, came here last year for the PFL World Championship, had my wife and my kid with me, really got to do all the tourist stuff. Like, you know, normally we just come here, we grind, it's crowded, it's busy, it's hard to get around, you're carrying gear, it's a pain, right? But that week, since I had my wife and kid with me, we went to the top of the World Trade Center, you know, we went and did all these different things. And I enjoyed myself. I really did enjoy myself. And then tonight, you and I were kind of walking down the street, and I was noticing, man, like, you know, I think that's 8th Ave over there, where it's like, man, it's like it's looking like Tokyo now, right? Because like all the video boards are like the
light up screen,
the high res 4D, all this stuff. And I was like, this place is starting to grow on me a little
bit. It's
cool.
Man. Times Square is cool.
It's kind of starting to grow on me a little bit. And then Cold Coffee looks over at me. He's like, did you see that dude over there with his pants down taking a shit?
Literally 3 feet to my right. We walked past him. Yeah.
So here I am being like,
but you didn't notice it. So
notice it.
No harm, no foul.
It's so funny though, because here I am like, man, you know what, man? Maybe I've been wrong about this place all along. It's all right, man. It's all right. He's like, my boy dropping a deuce over there. So pretty funny. So all right, listen. Real quick, I tell you a story from me getting in last night. So I took the red eye last night. Airport was pretty much empty at Harry Reid. Show up. I finally have pre-check now, so I can finally go through the pre-check line. 10 years later after I first applied. So I'm going – we'll get into that story another time. But finally got approved. So I'm standing in line. I'm a little bit tired. I kind of already taken like some sleeping pills so I can try to sleep, you know, overnight on the plane. And I'm standing in line, and there's only like 3 or 4 people in front of me. I got my hand – I'm getting my ID out and all that. And I hear some music, right? You know, it's like – it's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen, rolling. And I'm like, but it's funny because in the Las Vegas airport, there's always like some music playing, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that loud. But since I was kind of in like a half stupor kind of thing, I'm like, is that just the overhead music or is there actually like music bumping in here? And it kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing some people. Now, you know, I'm checking into that C and D gate area, the same one that we always go to, right? And then right here on the right side, there's a walkway that's really like an exit. And all of a sudden, like, I saw like 3 or 4 or 5 people walking that way, and the music's getting louder and louder. I'm like, I think these people are bumping music over here. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what is going on here? And it's late. I had like an 11:30 departure, so it's like 10:45. Yeah. Not a lot of people in there. And the music's getting louder, and I'm like, that is with them, right? And all of a sudden, I look over there, and Tracy Morgan is in a little scooter.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's in a little scooter. He's got a crew of like 20 people around him. He's literally – I wish I could show you – bro, I wish this was video because to see Tracy Morgan, he's sitting in this scooter, but it's Tracy Morgan, so he's like sitting on the side kind of like this, just pimped out, just rolling by everybody, like looking around like
Were they filming him?
No, he was just –
just literally so just how he's transiting through the
– turns
the
out he's playing at the Palms tonight. Like I pulled it up, so I was like, I guess it was just his crew, but that's just how he gets around. He drives around in his little – those little buggy scooters, but he sits kind of sideways on it, one hand on the wheel to fucking drive himself and just bumping some R. Kelly, dude.
That's hilarious.
I was like, man, I wish I'd have had my camera out filming. I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like,
and I'm sure that's what he was expecting, somebody to film it. Somebody's got to have footage of it.
Somebody has to.
That's pretty cool.
Hilarious,
man. That's pretty cool.
So that was my way into town. So got into town. Real quick, and I want to get into today, and we'll talk UFC 295. I mentioned last week. Very, very busy. I do want to say if anybody hasn't had a chance to see it, I just want to give a quick plug to CFFC Match Day. I'm not on the mic for those, but I was on the mic for CFFC 127. So if you missed that on UFC Fight Pass, check that out. We had a great show last Friday night. 6 finishes on the main card, all action. My man CM Punk was back in the building, so that was fun. But we also did – we started this thing where we're doing NCAA Division I college wrestling matches on UFC Fight Pass. We had our first 2 dates last week, Wednesday at Fort Liberty in North Carolina and Sunday at Massillon, Ohio, at a high school there of David Carr. So pretty cool place to start it out. But 2 of those, We're trying to help grow the sport, basically Division I college wrestling, and we're doing it with the partners at Fight Pass, and it's very fun, cool. Man. It's I've seen college wrestling over the years, obviously my little share here and there. You know, I'll watch the finals when they're on ESPN or something like that. But to watch these meets, man, it was a lot of fun. We had three duels in the course of 2 days, and we got some more coming up next week. So I just want to give a quick plug for that. If you haven't checked out Division I college wrestling, man, if you watch it, it's so fast, and you will be so impressed by the athletes where you're like, dude. Like, you could definitely take these people and make them mixed martial artists, man. You
That's know awesome. I mean? So, yeah, I've never really watched a lot of other team meets, but it's usually always like the national finals or something, because you're seeing the best of the best, the guys that are either going to be All-Americans or national champions. But, yeah, that's very cool. But, yeah, D1, man, you can't really go wrong. I mean, nowadays, I mean, you're even going into the further. Now I think D2 or D3, maybe they classify it as something different. Yep. It's kind of weird, whatever. But even traditionally, back in the day, I mean, like, those – wrestlers are still badasses as well. So, I mean, that's really, really cool. So, that's neat, man. What a very cool experience.
It's super cool, too. So, we're going to do, after we get through this week, we're going to do two more next week. The first one will be next Friday. I believe that's the 17th. And we're on a wild horse preserve out in Wyoming.
Are you going to get on a horse?
In the middle of Wyoming. No, I'm not getting on a horse. Are you crazy? No. I'm behind the scenes. The production work is too important. I can't risk injury. No, I'm not getting on a horse. It's a wild horse. It's a wild horse reserve.
But I'm sure they have some horses there.
They probably do.
Yeah.
They definitely do. I'm not getting on. We're doing that, and then we're doing Humboldt High School on Sunday, which will be Humboldt, Iowa. Be good. So anyway, check it out. It's part of the CFFC family. It's CFFC Match Day. Shane Sparks is on the call, so it's good stuff. I said this on the NAF episode, and I'll say it here too. I mean, if you're a fan of college wrestling, do me a favor, please watch it and tell me what you think, because we're trying to do it. Like, Rob Haydack from CFFC is so passionate about college wrestling, man. He wrestled in college. He was a coach as well. Like, he loves the sport, and so he wants to do right by it. I want to do right by it. We all want to do right by it. But if you're a fan of college wrestling, do me a favor, watch it. Tell me what you think we're doing right, what you think we're doing wrong. I'd love to hear the feedback. And if you're not a fan of college wrestling and you've never seen it before, watch it too and tell me what you think about the sport, because I'm telling you, I think when you watch it, it's highly entertaining, and I just love to hear feedback because, again, these were our first two, so we're trying to grow it and make it better. So, all right, let's talk about UFC 295. You guys did the media day yesterday. We could talk about some of that. Anything you heard from there, because I watched the whole thing as well, so I'm definitely...
I literally felt like today was kind of like a repeat when it came to, like, the... I mean, like, a lot of times when you have, like, the press conferences today, especially if it's open to the fans, you get more of, like, just sort of a, you know, laissez-faire, sort of like people just throwing out answers, and there will be some repeat stuff, but I felt like today was, like, a legit, like, press conference, people asking, like, the questions that we could have heard yesterday, and maybe we did hear, but I thought it was a pretty serious, like, well-done press conference.
It was
today.
That's what I want to say is that, and I don't want to start this on a negative thing, because look, you could take shots at UFC 295, right? We don't have John Jones and Stipe Miocic, so I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed. I've been saying all along, and I've had people tell me I'm crazy, but I still think I'm right. I actually like Aspinall versus Pavlovich as much as Jones versus Stipe from a competitive standpoint. In fact, maybe even more from a competitive standpoint. Now, it's not a John Jones fight. Like, I am let down that I'm not getting to see the greatest of all time versus the greatest heavyweight of all time in Madison Square Garden for all the marbles. Like, I'm bummed. But in terms of, like, you know, fights that you look at and you're like – because we already thought these two guys were going to be the future of the division, right?
100%,
we thought they were going to be the future of the division. To see a fight that you're like, I don't know who's going to win this fight, that, to me, that's the best thing about MMA. Because we can always look at a fight and be like, well, he's got – a chance, 4 ounce gloves, you know what I mean? But when you're really like, dude, I don't know who's going to win this fight. Like, it's exciting. So I don't want to poop on UFC 295, because I am actually stoked about these. But I guess the one point I did want to make is, I do feel like today was a miss with the press conference, man. Like,
because
no audience, man. You're right.
They're going to say because no Dana.
No, well, I mean, that might, maybe. I mean, I know he's got a lot of stuff going on. He's doing a ton of media. He's getting ready for the Callum Walsh thing. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because what's your bread and butter? 295 UFC, or is it this boxing thing, this kid that he's promoting, like Twisted Steel? It's like this kid is his version of Twisted Steel, except it's his boxing, his prized boxer. You got his prized bull. He's got his prized boxer. You know, like, what's next or whatever. I just thought it was lacking that he wasn't there, and he didn't even make it to the face-off. So he had Hunter up there.
I will say this. Because my assumption is – he was out doing other media. Like, he was doing a national media tour for UFC 295. Like, he's doing radio hits, TV hits, all that. If that's not the case, if it literally is just because he's hanging out backstage at the boxing match getting ready for the Callum Walsh fight,
yeah,
that's a massive miss. If it's because he felt like his time could be better served hitting all these other media outlets, all these, you know, TVs and whatever.
Ones that don't want to pay attention to this press conference that they're putting on. That they could have just sent people to.
Oh, there's my pessimistic cold comment right there. He's not calling him out. No, I get you are. It wasn't me. Okay.
It, like, I mean, I just find it would be very, very – it's one – I mean, like, if he was, say, he's doing radio hits or if he is doing a TV hit that just so happened, unfortunately, to fall at the same time as, like, the press conference – the press conference has always been his moment. Maybe if the fans were there, he would said, okay, I'll go because the fans love seeing Daniel. And he realizes that he takes it up to another level. But in terms of a lot of the media there still really haven't got a chance to see him since a lot of things have happened. And, like, why wouldn't you then make yourself available for the other media that want to talk to you about it? You know, so if you're all promoting, doing, I just don't think there could have been anything bigger than a press conference to actually showcase your stuff. But if, in fact, he was off doing something, I guess that's fine. That's good for whatever. I would hope that they were very big outlets that had some sort of crunching issue as for why they couldn't wait to do it before or after. If he's trying to do a last minute push for the boxing, then that's kind of a little suspect because it's like, bro, you got your 295 here, two titles on the line, and you're going to miss the presser to go tout your prized boxer. You know, that's what it feels like to me or whatever. But
that's a shame, because I will say, like, in terms of what I wanted to ask today, I mean, I definitely wanted to get Dana's opinion on, or an update on Jamal Hill. Jamal's he's been talking about it on his own YouTube channel, but it's always nice to hear from Dana, because, what, you know, the athlete is always going to be like, dude, I should be good in like 3 months, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, the UFC might be like, well, we're not really sure. Because I want to know, hey, do you feel like Jamal's healthy enough that he's definitely going to be next? I want to find out, do you feel like John Jones? Where's he at? And because, hey, this thing could get awfully murky, man. Like,
100%.
Jones and Stipe are going to put these guys on hold. Like, what's – how's this all – this?
Like, you're going to try to make the interim belt defend itself before you actually give the chance
this
to –
this thing could get nasty, man.
100%.
When it was announced, it felt like the natural solution. I was like, yep, makes sense.
Yeah.
But now, when you really start laying out the scenarios, like, this could get ugly.
I mean, it's – And Bisping went on USA Today Sports and did some stuff, and he laid it out pretty well. It's like, you know, even when he got injured, they did a interim belt at one point, and he just felt that that was just the status quo of what they're supposed to do. When the champ gets injured, you do an interim belt, you know, and then you combine it. And then maybe somewhere in that point, they started having champs vacate the belt, you know. But his whole point was like, you know, it was supposed to be an interim for if a champ gets hurt. And if there was any fighter out of all the fighters, why not give the opportunity for the GOAT, the guy that most people are saying are the baddest man alive, who's done all this stuff for the division and as a champion, why would we make him have to vacate it if we've done it, you know, if we've done interim belts for others, even like Bisping?
And I agree.
You know,
and
so it was a good point, but it would just been interesting to hear that coming from, you know, from Dana's side for others that maybe haven't had a chance to talk with him and just to rehear it again. And plus our numbers of something that he does. I felt like I love seeing Anik talk, but I felt like you guys were all have to try to think of like, well, what can we toss to Anik to make this work?
Well, and it's funny you say that because I never ask Anik questions at the press conferences when he runs them because, to be honest, like, he's just there as an MC.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I –
he's put in a weird, awkward position. It'd almost be better if Hunter was up there because he actually understands the legal issues, contracts, the other sort of stuff.
Right.
Like, if there was a person that's going to be there, it should be him. But I think also with them – they also want to control what access to things that they can get. You know, like, if you're putting the main guy that's like Dana's right-hand man, people are going to feel that they can ask stuff that they won't ask, and that they won't ask. And then maybe stuff will come out that they don't want to have come out.
Well,
or
that's
whatever.
All right, so that leads me to 2 points. So, number one, I never ask Anik anything when he's in that role. Today I did just because it did feel weird. Like, this is the 30th anniversary press conference.
Yeah.
And that's another reason kind of weird, I guess, maybe
that Dana
wasn't
there,
right? Like, this is the 30th anniversary. So
at Madison Square Garden.
We were
literally in the plaza of Madison Square Garden.
All right.
But
where were you, bro? Yeah. All right. Yes. I did ask Anik because he is pretty eloquent in saying things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is this? What do you think this represents for the sport and the history and all that? And he laid it out nice. He was just like turned it to the athletes and that sort of thing. But it is funny because I had several people ask me on different social media platforms. Hey, you know, do you think anybody will ask about the case, the lawsuit, right? The antitrust lawsuit and the developments and the fact that, you know, it's going to be going to trial and all that. And I did try to tell people, listen. A press conference is not a great place to ask stuff like that if you want a real answer. I mean, if you just want to check off the tick mark that I asked the question, if that's what your goal is, to say that I got in front of him and I asked the question, you can do it. If your goal is to actually get a thoughtful answer and to try to get maybe some solid information, the press conference isn't a place to do it. The press conference is the rah-rah, we got our pay-per-view coming up, we got these guys that are cutting weight, that don't, you know, that their time is precious, and I'm not trying to waste their time talking about company business. So I never intended to ask anything anyway, but then once Anik was up there, then you knew, like, well, what's there to ask?
Yeah, and you know he'll be able to kind of gloss over it a little bit and give a little something, and I think he probably hates when he's put in that position as well, but he does do a very good job of sort of just like towing the line, saying what needs to be said, but without getting too elaborate and making it about himself. Well, he's always been very good about sort of promoting it and then being like, okay, let's push it back onto the other guys here.
And the truth is, because look, and when John is in that position, John Anik, he could say something that could cost him his job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas Dana, Hunter, those guys, they can't say anything that's going to cost them their job. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, it's almost like unfair to ask John Anik, because it's like, well, hold on. I'm not involved in any of those decisions. I'm not involved in anything business related. I'm not involved in any matchmaking. I'm not involved. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, when you ask my opinion, like, well, who do you think should be next? And I know he has a podcast where he talks about and gives his opinion, but in that situation, when he's on the company dime, when you're asking him questions, I almost feel like you're potentially putting him in the line of fire to cost himself his job.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
So that's true.
I always feel a little bit bad about it. So, but I thought today was a miss with not having the crowd there, because I just and I don't know whether it was an operational ease for everybody because everything was at Madison Square Garden. Because normally we do the theater. The theater right now, though, is being set up for boxing. I'm going to head back over there later and check out what the box – because I've never been to – I've been to press conferences in there. I've never been to boxing match in there. I want to check it out, see, you know, Callum Walsh be on UFC Fight Pass. Go check it out. But we couldn't use the theater because that's being done for boxing, right? But we've all – so I don't know if that was a decision to just, like, well, let's keep everybody and everything in one place. I'm sure it probably saved expenses. Like, if you were to go rent out Radio City Music Hall or go rent out another thing, now you're adding a cost. So I'm sure it was probably a cost-saving standpoint and an operational ease, because you're not splitting your team. Now you're all in one property. I mean, you think about it. We checked in one place. We went to another place for the press conference. They shifted us to another place for the workplace. Then they kicked us out. I mean, they've got that Madison Square Garden thing figured out where they can move you all around. But I would say to whoever was planning or made those decisions, I think that was a miss in retrospect. And I hope they see it the same way. And maybe they don't. Maybe they don't care, because they say, well, we got our press conference done.
Right.
We got our quotes. We got our face-offs. We're good to go. But, man, this is the one place in the whole world – maybe I won't say the whole world, because like Brazil is awesome. Like, there's some great places, but definitely the United States, man. The atmosphere that is in those press conferences in here in New York is different, right? Because you got people hooting and hollering. They're, you know, they're talking shit to the guys on stage. They're talking shit to us as media members. You know what I mean? They're out there just heckling, and it's just a different energy. And especially with those guys today, that none of them are big talkers. Obviously. Three of them, you know, their first language is another language. They're doing their best, you know, especially Jiří does his absolute best. Yep. But I don't know, man. It felt a little empty, despite the fact that we got two great fights, two incredibly competitive fights, two potential firework fights. It felt like it lacked that energy that you get when you get that crazy New York crowd in there.
I can definitely see the energy part 100%. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was sitting near some staff that were afterwards when we were up in the area working, and they were kind of sort of like saying to themselves, like, well, that went better than we thought. You know, it went well. They're like, it looked fuller than I thought it would. You know,
because there's no crowd.
Because there wasn't a lot of crowd. But also even the media turnout, you know, like they're pushing everybody sort of towards the back of the room. I don't know if that was partially to fill for the camera stuff, which makes me wonder, because it seemed like, you know, even at media day, it seemed like there's a decent amount of media that was there, but maybe the turnout for the media wasn't so big, so they were afraid to have that big giant space. But it does make you wonder, and I guess we'll know for sure at the ceremony weigh-ins tomorrow of what the crowd reaction and the crowd response to this fight. If that's their way of saying, like, we don't think we were going to be able to fill out the presser anyways, and we don't have a lot of media, what's the point of paying all this extra security and paying all this extra to get this room and then have it look empty? And then for this is their way of probably – I still do believe it is probably because of the boxing and saving money to use that room, that space that we had today. It wasn't even a room. They literally just pipe and draped and then sat chairs up, which they immediately broke down afterwards. It was just sort of a – a walkway. It's a walk-through space, you know, to get to some of the other spaces, and they turned it into a makeshift presser room. So I think they were happy with how it turned out, but I think for them, it belies something else that we're not recognizing yet, in the fact that maybe the crowd isn't really as big about it here that, as we think, you know, like people were maybe going to travel for Jones and Stipe, but who knows how many were really going to actually pick up and travel for that fight, you know? So if the crowd here isn't really into it, and especially now after the crowd dropped out, you know, maybe the New York crowd was going to be all about John Jones and watching Stipe, but maybe they're like, wait, who's fighting?
Yeah.
None of them are from here. Both title fights, none of them are Americans. It's just like, why am I into this?
It's such a weird thing, right? Because I get it. Like, I understand both aspects of it. Like, you want to see the superstars. Yeah. You want to see the ones. But, like, how many times do we have title fights where the champ is, like, a minus 600 or something? You know, it seems like it happens more often than not. You know what I mean? To have a main and a co-main event that are legit pick 'em, right? Yeah. And two main events, you know, main and co-main event, two title fights where it's not like you're like, well, man, we got to see if he can deal with his wrestling because he's probably just going to hold him up against the cage and stalemate him all night. You know what I mean? Like, no, we're talking about two badass fights with two titles on the line. But, and I know, man, I remember, our colleague Abu Suban, I know he was talking about, like, maybe coming over here, right? Like, I know he wanted to come over, big 30th anniversary show.
But I mean, at least Aspinall's here. I mean, that would have been some. But I know he wanted to see Jones.
He wanted to see Jones, right? Yeah. And this, you know, but he wanted
everybody wanted to see Jones.
He wasn't going to work it, but he wanted to take a little vacation. Yeah. But he started looking at the tickets, and he was the one, I think, that first made me aware. Like, dude, like, the cheapest ticket you could get was like $700.
That's crazy.
That's to get in. And you know you're not coming by yourself, so now you're paying $1,400, plus you got to fly, plus you got to pay a hotel, plus you got to pay everything.
Do you think they didn't adjust prices after that fight dropped?
I'm sure they had to have. They had to have.
They just called a price discount or something.
Dynamic pricing.
Well,
dynamic
and they're supposed pricing. To, you know, offer, you know, once a main event changes, they're supposed to offer refunds
required,
or whatever.
Required
you know?
By the state.
So, but I don't know if we've ever heard, or maybe they did sort of allude to it, or maybe it was something that you phrased in the question or something about something we haven't really heard of, like, bulk refund requests or anything. Not that we ever really hear those numbers anyways, but I haven't heard people say, well, I was going to New York and then all of a sudden I stopped.
Yeah.
I heard me say that I was willing to not come. I was like, you know, I thought I was going to go. I thought it was me filming Jones's last one, Jones or Stipe's, you know, retirements.
I know. I thought we were getting a Jones Stipe double retirement. Yeah. I really did.
I mean, but you're right. In terms of competitiveness, spot on. Like, both of those fights are very, very competitive. I, you know, as much as I love Stipe, Jones, I was already writing his name on the deed. He had the belt. It's his to keep. Yep. You know, he's not giving it away. This one, it's much more like, wow, I don't know. I don't know who's going to take the light heavy. I don't know who's going to take the heavyweight belts. You know, it's very, very interesting. But it was such a downer. But, you know, it's such a cool city. It's cool to be up here. I mean, it's still feels electric being in the city. I don't feel the buzz of like the event. I swear last time that we were here, I remember seeing flyers and board what do you want to call it, up on the
billboards.
The billboards. Yeah. I haven't seen one promoting this event. I swear last time that we were here that I remember at least seeing a couple of them. Granted, I haven't been staring at the screen. It's not like I've just been living in Times Square, but I haven't seen anything around it. Any of the bars that I walk by, I mean, I've walked past a few of them, just saying. Haven't seen any
posters.
You didn't
walk past many, walked into them.
I walked past just a few and walked in many. I haven't seen any of the firing, so it's weird. But plus, too, I guess that was the artwork, the whole trying to switch up artwork and all that kind of stuff, that kind of really throws it out the window right there too. So it's not like you can just send something to a printer, print out stuff, and then distribute the flyers, you know, all
good
sort
point.
Of short notice. So maybe that's part of that, at least with the flyers that you would normally see at the bars. But maybe the UFC's gotten away from like doing that sort of marketing advertising like they used to.
I think, to be honest with you, what I, this is just a guess. I don't know this. Again, I just got into town. I haven't really talked to anybody. But the feeling I get is that, look, normally Madison Square Garden sold out ticket. You can't get you can go on Ticketmaster right now and you can get a ticket. Right.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to do good at the gate? Yeah, they're still going to do good at the gate. Right.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view buys. Again, competitively, hardcore fans, stoked. Casual fan, probably not as hyped about this, right?
Not so much.
So I think probably, you know, they've got all their models, right? They have got all the statistics. And I think they probably just say, well, I can tell that our live gate's going down. I could tell that our pay-per-view sale, not that it's going to bomb, not that it's going to be a disaster, but it's just like, so let's dial down the ad spend as well. You know what I mean? Let's pull back on some of this stuff. You know what I mean? Let's not go get Radio City Music Hall for the press conference. Let's put it in the Chase Forum, something like that. That would be my guess. Which is not a bad business decision to make, right? If you're guessing that your revenues are going to be down based on the hit, why up your expenditures to chase dollars, right? You know what I mean? Like those, you're probably not going to get the incremental sales increase by, hey man, if we really up our advertising, we'll get it back on the back end of pay-per-view buys. Like it's probably just going to get what it gets, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, and plus too, all that pay-per-view, that's just ESPN's money anyways. They want the tickets. They care about the gate.
That's true.
The gate's always been like that's ours to cover our costs of doing this. The pay-per-view numbers, that's already just money already spent, money already pocketed or whatever. Yep. But, yeah, I know they're very, very interested. So it does make sense in that sense where if they're unsure of what the gate is to kind of reduce their overall expenditures, so they hit those margins, that I'm sure that they're trying to get. But that being said, I mean, it's a sneaky good card. When we had the fighters that were going there, Diego Lopez, Lupi Godinez, good fighters, Jessica Andrade in there, Mackenzie Dern. Did you see Mackenzie at Media Day? She looked fantastic. She was wearing this crazy purple outfit. This purple jacket and something else. And I think it was Oscar that pulled up a picture of Willy Wonka's one of his outfits. I was like, no, bro, she's hot. He's goofy. I was like, no. And she said some crazy things about, dealing with the relationship, that sort of ending, all that stuff. And this fight's pretty much paying off money owed to the ex or something, shit you don't think about, here we are oh, here's Mackenzie. Oh, it's going to be a really crazy fight. But then there's all these other internal things that these fighters, these struggles and these things that they're going through while they're going through fight camps and all this other kind of crazy shit.
It's so well said, man. I think people forget about all the time. For instance, Jessica Andrade, flip side of that fight, right?
Yeah.
She said similar things, right? Because people were like, why does she keep taking these dumb fights? Why is she, who's she listening to? What is she doing? And she says, I need the money to pay for my divorce.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting all the time now because I have to have the money. And that happens a lot where fighters are like, they get themselves in a situation. They're like, hey, I don't think this is a good matchup for you. I don't care. I need the money.
I
got to go fight right now.
Yeah.
And it is a reminder. And I think on this show, at least, we try to remind people that. I think it gets lost in the bigger picture sometimes. But I think sometimes when people get all into the selling of the fights and the storylines and all that, you forget, man, you're not talking about a wrestling character. You're talking about a person, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's dealing with some shit, you know? And you're right, man. I thought Jessica and Mackenzie both were talking about it. And, just a reminder of, what people are going through, man.
Yeah.
It's rough.
But, the card, I think it's so – the noise has been so top-heavy just because of the big change-ups with the main and the co-main and the switching around those bouts or whatever. That people are kind of – not that they're sleeping on the rest of the card, but this card, I wonder if in its current matchup, if it would have been better, say, over at the O2 or something where there's, some more international flavor or something like that, or even if this card was in Brazil or something.
If you look at the way it ended up shaking out, Yuri Prochazka in the main event, Tom Aspinall in the co-main event, at the O2 Arena in London.
Oh, it would have been gangbusters.
God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then I think the crowd would be there because just that London crowd just brings it. And they're just crazy energy anyways.
Amazing.
I think it would have been a really, really hit. And, I think if they had their druthers and they were able to plan this card out as it was, that would have been the location on their mind more so than a Madison Square Garden or whatever. But that being said, it's a good card. It's gonna be a lot of fun. These East cards are tough because by the time we're done, you're going straight to the airport.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna come back here and I'll get a couple hours of sleep, and then I think my flight's at 11 or 11:30, just because I wanted to at least try to sleep a couple hours or something. Even though it's not great sleep because you're always worried about trying to wake up for the flight or whatever.
Yeah.
But, dude, it's getting harder and harder to go straight to an airport.
And,
the early morning flights. My flight out here, my flight was at 5:30. So the boarding was at 5. Me, being the guy that's afraid of always oversleeping.
Got there at 2:30.
My first alarm was at 1:45.
Yeah, I knew it.
Then 2. I think I left the house at 3:30. So I got over there around about 4 or something. Yeah. So this trip, I feel like I haven't slept much at all. So I wanted on the back end to at least get a couple hours of sleep. But getting older, man, it's just getting hard. Like these East Coast shows, man. So I'm hoping the energy and the fights are crazy that we end the night riding a high. Because even at that presser at the end, you got to figure if we get both winner, loser, that's four just the two-man fights. And then if we have Dana, and if we're not caught up, there might be somebody else
yep.
that's back there as well. Then next thing you know, we're leaving there at like 4 in the morning.
I'm going straight to the airport. I'm calling Tough Enough at the Sahara on Sunday. So if you want to check that out on the UFC Fight Pass, or you're looking for something to do on Sunday.
Your energy levels might be a little down.
I'll tell you what, man, it's funny. Just thinking about the way the card adjusted. So in Sunday on the CFFC match day card that we did, we had Iowa State versus Cleveland State. And Cleveland State is actually where Stipe wrestled in college a little bit. So,
oh, yeah.
And check this out. I didn't know this. Gerald Harris. Remember Gerald Harris, Hurricane? He was a member of the Cleveland State Hall of Fame as a wrestler.
Shit.
Yeah, he's in their Athletic Hall of Fame, so it's pretty cool. But anyway, so I ran into some folks associated with Stipe at the wrestling meet, and they were not happy with John Jones. They were throwing out some wild accusations.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty – I'll let that stay out for it. Got entertaining. All right, so let's talk about UFC 205. Home stretch of the I believe that place you work for still does staff picks. I can't remember the name of it. I'm just joking. MMA Junkie Staff Picks. Are you in contention? Is it shut down? Where are we?
Well, the Derek Lewis one didn't help my cause because of course I rode with it.
Homer.
But dude, I was hoping, dude. I was like, Derek, if you land these punches, he's tiring out. And then it was just. You know, everybody was making shit on that fight, you know, like, you know, really putting a lot of blame on the, you know, the fact that Gelton wasn't doing enough when he was on top. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, why wasn't Derek, you know, expending that energy to buck him off, you know. I think there were definitely moments that he could have did some more, but I think there were other moments where, you know, Almeida needed to do more stuff. I just wanted to be on the feet. And when Derek was starting to do good and he was staying up, I was like, yes, this homer pick's going to work out. This homer pick's going to work out. It didn't work out. And so now I'm like three behind Nolan.
Okay.
This card, everybody besides like Matt E picked Alex Pereira.
Everybody, yeah.
Except me.
So you got Jiří?
I picked Jiří. Part of it was trying to make a play.
Right.
But I do think he has – I just hope he's 100% and that he's been doing all this stuff. I'm not swayed by his samurai mentality and all this other stuff. Part of it's a play to like try to make a pick that they haven't because I got to catch up. We're running out of events. But I do think he has a chance.
I do too.
I think he has a chance. I mean, I think he's smart enough – and if he can not try to just make it a slugfest, try to get him down, but just be smart, pick his battles. But we saw what Glover did to him, you know? I mean, like, I couldn't have imagined that fight. I mean, I think all of us, I don't know if any of us picked Glover in that fight. And he
it
just
was like, we love you, old man, Glover, but
there's no way. Yeah. There's no way, you know? So, I mean, there are parts of Jiří's game that I'm worried about, and Alex... But we know it's just the power. I mean, if he could take the punch and if he could not give those shots. But we've seen that Alex is able to stay strong till the very end of the fight, man. Like, he's deadly in the fifth round with 10 seconds left in the fight. I mean, it sucks.
Especially at 205.
Yeah, boy. So it's a tough pick. But this is like my last dig effort to, like, catch up.
Yep.
Because we have what? It's November now. We have maybe 6 more events.
Yeah,
roughly.
Yeah,
I gotta catch up.
Gotta make a move.
I gotta catch up. So this is either gonna put the nail in the coffin if I go too far behind, and then I hope it's Nolan. I hope he hasn't won yet. So he's been on top of the leaderboard for a little bit. But yeah, I'm just trying to play catch up right now. But I think it's a solid pick. I don't feel too worried about. I mean, I don't feel like. It was like with the Derek one, that was just a heart play, and I kind of knew that I was giving up that pick. But with Jiří, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if that's just me being like trying to play gamesmanship and trying to get one back. But if he comes out and pulls it out, I'm certainly gonna be like, "Why? I can't believe y'all just bought that hype on that Bahia." Yeah, like, I mean, what have you really seen from
him? He's only been here like 7 times.
What have you even seen him with the guy? He doesn't even know what weight class is his.
Well, it's funny because, so to your point, I mean, the one thing, because again, anytime somebody's coming off an injury, the one thing you worry is, were they ready? Did they rush back? I do feel like the fact that he already got stripped of the title, or sorry, he gave it up.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was urged into giving it up or whatever. It wasn't just a moral play. But so there's no reason to rush back, right? I mean, the title's there when you come back. It's not like you're like, well, dude, if I don't come back now, they're going to take it from me, and that's going to screw up my pay-per-view points, and that's going to screw up my – you know, it's like, no. Just so I don't feel like he would have rushed it back, so I feel like he's good 100%. But then you just get into the fact that it's like, can the chaos that he creates overwhelm, you know, the kind of stoic, loaded-up power, deadly at any time kind of stuff that Pejeta has – And Jiří, of course, the thing about that chaos he creates is that he leaves himself wide open too. And that's the scary part.
That's the scary part.
But he might
leave his chin out there and then it's done.
But he might, you know, he might hit a cartwheel and jump off the top of the cage.
Because Alice leaves his chin out there too. He takes it.
Yep.
You know, he's got a chin on him, you know. I think if it became a matter of just battle of wills and like, all right, I'm gonna leave my chin out, you leave your chin out and let's just slug and see who wins. I think Alex has the power nod.
Right.
I think he has that. Yep. But, maybe Jiří catches him with something. I mean, we've seen him. We saw Izzy flatlined him. Jiří's got more power than Alex, than Izzy.
Yep.
I mean,
100%.
Izzy just had pure technique. It was just a perfect strike, you know. So anything can happen. Anything can happen. I think now, Alex, we've just started, like, pushing him into this Terminator role like he's this unstoppable force. And that's not exactly true, you know.
Right.
But I think this would be a tough test, and this has the possibilities of taking some of that shine off of him, and maybe people will see him more as a human being, and instead of this guy that was like the bane of Izzy's existence, and then he goes, he changed weight division, and he looks even better than what he did at his previous division. Or it could be a matter of like, dude's so badass that he's just going to become a champion in any weight class he goes into, and it could be that case. It's going to be sick, dude. I mean, it's going to – what a moment for him. I mean, if he's able to win and get that belt, I mean, that's just his story is just – it's just amazing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's pretty darn cool, man.
Yeah, to be a two-division champion in glory, to be a two-division champion in the UFC, man, that's pretty incredible.
Like, he just got here.
He did. It's his seventh fight.
It's so crazy, dude.
It's nuts. So it's a pick 'em. I was – you know, again, I actually leaned Jiří as well, but – it's a pick. I mean, that's why I love it. That's why I'm excited for this.
Yep.
Co-main event, I mean, straight – look, doesn't take a genius to break this one down. Sergey is an absolute destroyer of men. Knockout artist, unbelievable. Tom Aspinall, everybody has power at heavyweight, but really what it comes down to him is the speed that he has. Like, that dude is so athletic.
His accuracy, his precision is just
– unbelievable.
It's beautiful. He's a hell of a striker. When he hurts you, three or four strikes comes and you blink and there are three or four punches have already landed. You know, he's super, super fast.
I loved it. I clipped out one thing from the press conference today, and I loved his quote where, you know, he was like, yeah, I did some interviews yesterday. I said where this wasn't ideal scenario, but guess what? You know, I wasn't going to win this fight sitting on my couch. You know what I mean? So, like, I thought about it. I thought it was an amazing quote. Like, you know, might as well give it a shot. You know, and I love that because that's it, man. I mean, sometimes in life – in life in general, but I always look at fighting as a parallel to life, man. I just do, you know what I mean? And maybe that's silly of me, but I do see it. And there's those parallels, but especially in the sport, you want everything to be in your favor, right? You want the date to be right. You want the location to be right. Yeah. You want your training camp to be right. All those things, right? But sometimes you just got to go out there and say, I'm taking a chance, dude. Like, I know this dude is scary. I know that, you know, I would have liked a full training camp, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? The glory's not coming if I say no. I got to go in there and give it a shot. And I thought that was awesome.
That was a killer one. Could be sitting on my couch just watching this, or I could have just said yes and then just give it a go.
Go in there and see what happens. I love
that. That's awesome.
The other one, and it came from the media day yesterday, and it was so funny, man. And I actually wrote it down because I thought it was so great and I wanted to get it right. So Sergey was asked about something, and he was like, we have a saying in Russia that we don't divide the fur of a bear that hasn't been killed yet. I'm like, that is so Russian,
dude. Transcribed because we weren't quite sure what all he actually said. He said something like, you don't divide a bear, you know, blah, blah, and we're like, okay.
You don't divide the fur of a bear that hasn't been killed yet. I was actually going to tweet this, and I was like, I'm not there. I don't want to steal anybody's. I was going to be like, I'm officially asking anyone who ever uses the phrase, don't count your chickens before they hatch, to step their game up to the next level. Because, like, you know, in America, we're like, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Don't count those cute
little
things.
You know what I mean? He's like, in Russia, we don't divide fur of bear that has not been killed yet. I was like, that is so Russian, dude. But yeah. But it's funny, you know, he is the stoic Russian, whatever, but Sergey's up there smiling, you know what, yep. I mean? He doesn't obviously no English whatsoever, but his translator is awesome. And yeah, man, it just the dude is, I mean, this is an epic clash right here. I mean, this is, to me, flip a coin. What was your pick? What was the staff picks looking like on this one?
I want to say this one was pretty, well, I think it was much more even. I went with Sergey on this one. I mean, I think Tom has every bit of a chance to hurt him and do something. Sergey, I mean, he's just a block wall that just moves forward and just devours and just knocks people out. So, yeah, I lean towards Sergey, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tom's able to catch him with something. All he needs to do is stun him. And then he lands enough punches, and then let the ref get in there and stop it. I mean, he's so quick, but I just think that you know, and it's plus with these heavyweights with the power, it's not like you need weeks and weeks advance of training to work on your power that's already present. If anything yeah. else, you know, we've seen times where people, or in short notice fights, don't have the pressures on their shoulder because people are already expecting to sort of not lose, but maybe not have the best showing because they haven't had a full fight camp. So sometimes they come in there a little bit more at ease, you know, and all of that other kind of stuff. But I think Sergey, I mean, he's so impressive. He's on a crazy run. He's the guy that, when thinking about who I think could give Jones a chance with toughness on a chin and delivering power, it's Sergey. I think he's the toughest challenge for Jones right now in the division. So that being said, I can't then say, oh, well, I think Aspinall's going to, you know, beat him, even though I think Sergey does better against Jones than Aspinall does better. You know, that crazy MMA math.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll stick with the side of the formula that says that Sergey has enough power and he has speed of his own, just maybe not quite as quick hands, but he just moves forward, man, and it doesn't take too many of his punches to kind of stun somebody. And we, you know, and again, this, you know, Tom's been hurt too. I mean, he had that freak weird, what was it, his knee or whatever,
yeah,
went out on
out
and just kind
of
gave out, you know, kind of on its own. I forget, it was like he just is stepping. It was
he,
in the
he
step
planted,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure that's in the back of the mind as well, you know, for a fighter going in there and stuff. So you never can tell, but I think Sergey is going to get it done. I think Sergey is going
to
get it done.
It's hard to argue against the man. The dude is, yeah. He's powerful. He's accurate. I love Aspinall, man. Just as a fighter, he's so athletic. As a heavyweight, as a character, man, he's funny. You know, he's so well spoken.
So funny.
Got that dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
His
shirt bit about the shirt today.
Kind of look sexy.
But even the guy was like, "So hey, man, shout out who made this shirt?" And he's like, "I paid for this shirt.
Yeah, I don't have to give him a shout out.
I don't have to give him a shout out. If they give me something for free, I'll give him a shout out." I was like, "Yes, dude."
I actually clapped at that.
I thought
actually
that
clapped
was
at
so
that.
Good because I mean, if I thought about it, if it was me, I probably would have said that the designer.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think anything about like that. And I was like, wow, that's much better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I probably paid a
better.
Few hundred bucks for this shirt, dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving them a shout out. Their shout out was that when that cash register went cha-ching.
They were like, oh, wait, I know who this guy is. No, sir, no. That's on us.
That's on us. Just give us a shout out.
Give us a shout out.
All right, so let me ask you, if you had to look into the cold coffee crystal ball, do you think this is cut?
It's probably as cloudy as this window here.
It's
a dirty
little
ass
hard
window.
A little hard to clean the windows this high up. We've kind of touched on it that this thing could get murky and ugly and to me, I guess clear if this thing played out ideally the way the UFC wants it, it's I guess sometime in summer maybe. I mean, UFC 300 is probably too UFC
that's April.
That's way too soon.
Yeah,
maybe summertime, International Fight Week. You get. God dang, so what do? Do you do Jones and Stipe on International Fight Week? Ideal scenario. And
yeah, it's going to have to be a T-Mobile.
And have,
I would think T-Mobile, they'd want it in Vegas. It's definitely, I mean, because it's.
And then what? Have the winner of this fight also fight somebody as the co-main? Or they have to sit and wait? Like, I don't know the right
That's
way to
point.
Play this. If because I would
yeah,
say.
Who do you put? I mean, because who do you give the. Interim or the interim that has the belt, who do you give them?
Curtis Blaydes? But
I could
as
see
the
that.
Co-main event, I guess?
I could see that. And then if something happened with one of the main event, they could always swap one of the two or obviously just make it a unifying depending on what side.
Yeah. This thing isn't going to be cut and dry, is it? It's going to get nasty.
It's going to get weird. I mean, and that just there's a lot of questions. I mean, like, as much as they want to say Stipe wants to wait for that thing, it's a long time that Stipe hasn't fought. Jones wants it to be Stipe. Stipe wants to fight Jones. You know, this could be the, you know, the walking away thing. But the further it plays out and the further that this recovery of this injury, you know, as gruesome as they try to make it sound, 8 months maybe is being an optimistic recovery, you know? And so you're pushing that the interim has a year. You're going to want, they're going to want some sort of defense. Then, yeah, maybe it is Blades or something. I mean, it's just weird. Or maybe at that point they give Stipe the possibility of, you know, coming and going for the interim or whatever. I don't think he wants to fight whoever's going to be walking away with it.
No.
Because I think he wants one more fight. He's happy. He's full time. I think last year, he went on, it became full-time at the firefighting thing. So, yep. I mean, like, got a full-time gig. I mean, he's getting older. At some point, you know, this, if it's not a big legacy fight where he's going to make a lot of money, I just don't think it's as interesting. I think he'd rather just pack this chapter away if it's not that crazy fight, unless he wanted just one more chance to wear the belt.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, guys, regardless of who the opponent is, I want to have a chance at a strap one more time. Then I could see it. I think at this point in his mind, he's fine if he doesn't fight ever again. I think it's just that Jones fight was like, that's too big of a carrot that they put in front of his face. And he's like, dude, yes.
That's legacy.
It's legacy.
It's legacy. More
legacy.
Regardless than money. Of how it more ends, than money, that's legacy.
You'd rather go out losing to John Jones than losing to, you know, Sergey or, you know, Aspinall.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Sirigan's probably the other name that you could throw in there if it's not Curtis Blades.
True.
But, yeah, if – see, that's what – if one or the other –
Gunn would be – that's another good option.
I don't think John – and this is the whole reason we said we thought it was going to be a double retirement. If one of them doesn't make it to the summer, neither one of them is going to fight anybody else.
Yeah.
They're not going to fight anybody else. They only want to fight each other,
yeah.
I think.
Then at that, and then at that point, I mean, then they really have to start having some questions. I mean, I guess it's better for them to just put on another interim fight because then there's another title bout. And they still have that title unification fight that's always there in the distance somewhere instead of just, you know, making Jones vacate it. But who knows? But, yeah, I feel like this is still can go a bazillion ways by the time we ever get to the point of seeing the unified belt in front of us. But I do know we do have a good fight this weekend. It's gonna be fun. I think it's going to be some fireworks. I mean, how can it not be?
I think the top two are going to be fireworks. We touched on Jessica Andrade, Mackenzie Dern. That's a meaningful fight. You know, both of them are dealing with their physical struggles as well and their mental struggles. But this is a meaningful fight. Matt Frivola versus Benoit St. Denis should be absolute fireworks. I'm excited for Diego Lopez versus Pat Sabatini. It's a great fight, but, of course, Pat Sabatini coming through the CFSC. Obviously, I'm going to be cheering for him. And, you know, look, I think we're going to have some – we're going to have some fun fights all the way from start to finish. So glad to be out here. Sorry, I'm a day late. I appreciate everybody for being patient with us. But I think it was nice to be able to actually get to hang out a little bit and do it as we overlook the skyline of New York. There's a little you can take a shit on the sidewalk.
you know, part of me was wondering, I mean, yeah, I don't know. If I was in a better spot and I wasn't lugging gear, it's not like I would be like, dude, are you okay? Because part of it was like, I was like, just keep moving. Just fucking keep moving.
I know.
He wasn't in his right mind.
Well, I was going to say, that's the unfortunate side of things is we can make light of it, but obviously there's usually some underlying things that are far deeper concerns that we wish we could help with. But, you know, trying to keep things light with a Mixed Martial Arts podcast. So anyway, listen, we appreciate everybody for joining us. If you like what you listen to, do us a favor, please take the time to rate us, review us wherever you can, wherever you check it out. That always helps us spread the love with the MMA Roadshow. And of course, if you want to take your support to the next level, patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. You can support us there for as little as $3 a month, and it certainly helps us out with the costs and everything associated with hosting everything that we do. And of course, that gives you exclusive access to the and a half episodes where we recap each and every UFC event, which is pretty much every week. You got to hear me in a state of absolute delirium this past week, sitting on the floor of an airport in Charlotte. I don't know what's going to happen this time. Maybe I can knock this thing out from the press room at Madison Square Garden. Maybe it's talking to myself like a crazy man in an Uber on the way to the airport, where my Uber driver is like, I'm going to have to charge you double, sir, because – or maybe my Uber driver was like really looking for a live recap of what happens at UFC 295.
At that time in the morning, he's going to be more than willing to be into it.
My Uber driver's like, dude, it was so great. Like, it was 4:30 in the morning, and I got a live breakdown of UFC 295 that happened. I was really into it.
That's funny. Man, anything's possible.
That sounds like a one star to me.
You see a rating, your writer rating goes down.
Immediately. They're like, this dude was talking about MMA the whole time, like a weirdo with a headset.
They're like, I had the radio on, and his voice was so loud, it went over the radio.
You don't think if I, like, hunker down in the back seat and kind of turn to the side over here with the door, and I cover up the microphone like this, so this guy,
I bet if you ask them, they'd be cool. They'd be into it. Much more.
What, get
so
him
than,
to co-host as we're driving?
No. If he just turned down his radio and listen and take it all, maybe he'd be into it.
Sir, do your earbuds have noise cancellation on them? Because you're going to need to turn
it's
them up here in the
loud.
Back.
Well, it's better that than getting reprimanded in the American Airlines lounge like we've had in the past.
Yes, we have been kicked out of the American Airlines That's lounge. Funny. Good times, good times. Yes, I'm going to make it back. So if you want to mark that on your calendars for Sunday, tough enough. Myself, I believe Dave Ferrer and Jason Mahoney are both on the call. My longtime partners. Man, we've been calling fights for like 15 years together now, man. That's crazy.
He's been doing it for a long time.
For a long time, man. That's wild. And then, again, please do me a favor. Check out CFSC Match Day. Give me your feedback on it. Love to hear it. Things that we can do better. Or if you're exposed to wrestling for the first time and you like it, hopefully you do, man. That's the whole goal, is to maybe try to expose it to some new people. And mark your calendar as well, because we've got two more coming up. Friday in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, which is going to be crazy. The visuals on that are going to be unbelievable. And then Sunday in the high school of Iowa State coach Kevin Dresser in Humboldt, Iowa, which will be pretty cool because it's a wrestling crazy part of the country, and they're going to have that high school packed out. So definitely looking forward to that. And lots more stuff coming. We made some more announcements. CFSC, we're going to Atlantic City in the middle of December. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have back-to-back nights of submission grappling and Muay Thai on back-to-back nights. It'll be our first Muay Thai event as well. So continue to add dates
big
to the
things.
CFSC family. I told you there was big things coming on. I told you they were happening. So appreciate everybody that supports us there. Appreciate everybody that supports us here. It's going to be a big fight. I know we're all a little bit disappointed. Won't try to hide that. Of course, we all are. But I think we're still going to get something pretty special. So tune in on Saturday night. We'll recap it all after the action. And thanks for listening.